We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
My name is Chris Fluitt, if you don't know. And if you don't know, this is Redemption Church. We're a church in Plano. We'd love for you to come see us sometime. If you're looking at us online and all that, please don't just lurk. Come talk to us. Please say hi and stuff like that. We love you. And we're so glad for everybody that we're able to connect with, especially during this crazy year. Amen. It's getting very close to the 25th now. I'm really excited. My kids are really excited. I'm a little nervous, actually, because there is a lot to do still. Anybody got a lot to do still? Oh my gosh, the wrapping alone. There are things that we have gotten our children that we have to put together. What were we doing? We just bought homework, Sarah. Why did we buy ourselves homework? But we did it. The name of our sermon series is Crazy Christmas. It's all been a little crazy, hasn't it? We've talked about crazy family. You got crazy family, you missed that sermon, you need to go check it out. Crazy travel, we talked about that last week. The original story of Christmas has so much to teach us. The original Christmas was difficult. In fact, most Bible scholars agree that Joseph and Mary would not have agreed with the lyrics, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." Most Bible scholars are willing to go on record and saying, fact check, false. Yes. With the kids jingle jelling, right? Jingle belling. And everyone telling you to be of good cheer. They would say, nope, that's not true at all. As your pastor, I take the biblical study of theological ramifications of Christmas carols very seriously. And after looking into the Greek and doing a complete exposition of the Gospels, I feel confident that there were no parties for hosting, there were no marshmallows for toasting, and there was no caroling out in the snow. So I bring that to you today. Today, we continue our craziness by discussing the crazy unexpected. Somebody say crazy unexpected. Are you glad to be in church today? I hope you're glad. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. So glad you're here. Christmas can have some crazy, unexpected moments. Unexpected news. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's, we're pregnant. Mom, Dad, we're pregnant. We don't know if it's a boy or girl yet, but we're so excited. Other times I was laid off. I don't know. My last paycheck's coming Friday, and I don't know what we're going to do after that. Something breaks. Anything break during Christmas? Let me tell you, your car doesn't take a break during Christmas, doesn't take a vacation, right? Your heating system, the things in your house, things just will unexpectedly break. And if it unexpectedly breaks, it's unexpected money out of your pocket, right? Cost. There's unexpected sickness. Unexpected loss, unexpected change. I remember one time my whole extended family came to stay with us at our house in Waco. And there were so many Fluitts in one house, small house. And there were just so many Fluitts. Let's count them up. There's just three of us. There were like four of Flavel, so that's seven. And there was like four of like Jimmy. So like we had 11 Fluitts in one house. They were just all jammed. Some of y'all looked horrified. My gosh, it's a scary thing. Y'all already have enough Fluitts in this house, in this church, right? Imagine smaller and there's 11 of us. And out of nowhere, very funny, mister. Out of nowhere, we've got all these people in our house and the toilet breaks. The toilet broke. It's not working, the toilet. And, you know, if the kids heard it once, we heard it 10 times. Kids, the toilet's broken. Do not use the toilet. So we have 11 people in our house and no bathroom. And I remember fondly there being a bucket in the bathroom. I still insist on calling this the Christmas bucket. I also remember that someone went potty. in the broken toilet. And I am willing to go on record today and confess that I think it was my cousin Frank. Frank, we all know it was you. It is time to come clean, Frank. My goodness. He will forgive all those that confess their sins. He's willing to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness, Frank. Come on. There was such an unexpected time. But you know what? I wish I could relive it, because we never had that many fluids in our house again in Waco. I think it was because they're worried about the toilet. But it was such a wonderful, wonderful time. Sure, it had all of its hardships. Sure, it was unexpected. Sure, someone had to clean that toilet. I don't know who that was, but God, a special Christmas blessing on them. But with all that going on, I find myself going, man, I really wish I could relive every single moment of that. My Uncle Flavel has gone to be with the Lord. My Uncle Jimmy has gone to be with the Lord. And my Aunt Frances has gone to be with, those are three people out of those 11 that aren't with me. Oh, how I wish I could be in the room with them again. I also remember the Christmas of 1996. Remember my grandmother, Hazel Fluitt. She was at home on hospice. I remember the pain of that loss. I remember just the difference of everything, because my grandmother used to always be in the kitchen, always in the kitchen, always in the kitchen cleaning, always in the kitchen talking to you about Jesus. Always, she loved to quote the scriptures. Oh my goodness, she was just a walking, talking machine. Her favorite thing was to tell you, all you need to know is the first words of your Bible. It says, in the beginning, God. And until you understand that, you aren't ready for the rest of that Bible. In the beginning, God. But on this Christmas, she was in that bed. Maybe you're dealing with the unexpected right now. Maybe you're dealing with hardship like that. Maybe you're just dealing with change, and change can just stink sometimes, can it? If you're thinking to yourself, no, Pastor, nothing going on in my life is like that. Well, you just wait, because sooner or later the unexpected has its way of showing up. So if you aren't going through that, let me just warn you, this is probably preemptive for you. The unexpected always seems to be arriving in our life. I want to remind you that the first Christmas story was crazy unexpected. Crazy unexpected. Very little about the story of Christmas was expected. Think about it. This story is filled with a lot of surprises. This story is filled with angels. This story is filled with direct messages from God. The characters in this story are completely unexpected. The setting is unexpected, and the meaning of the story is completely unexpected. It is so unexpected that there is prophecy after prophecy after prophecy that it's going to happen, and then everybody missed it.
That's right.
Because it was unexpected. Do you agree with me on that?
Yes.
There are many examples of the unexpected we could look to, but I want to talk about a part of the story that never seems to make it into the Christmas nativity and children's pageants. You just think a little bit, what's Pastor Chris going to bring out? Just, you go ahead and try to predict what it is. What is it? It's something that doesn't ever show up in the nativities. We don't have the little pageants, right? I want to talk to you about the villain of the story. There's a villain in the Christmas story. Think for a moment. You have these young, innocent people named Joseph and Mary, and they are caught in a very tough situation. They are caught between what God has planned, yea, ordained, and spoken from the foundation of the earth, and also stuck between what a tyrannical government had planned. And they're just jammed right between these two things that are both bigger than them. Joseph and Mary are doing their best to just manage, and then out of nowhere, bam, the unexpected. I want your help saying this guy's name. I want you to get out your air quotes. Everybody say, King Herod the Great. We'll practice that one more time. King Herod the Great. Good job. Y'all are really good at it. All right. Israel there had a family that rose to power. And what they desired more than anything was power. That's usually what happens in government still today. But in this time, there was a family within Israel that rose to power, and all they really wanted was to maintain their power and to grab more power. And in his quest for power, Herod developed close ties with a Roman senator named Octavian. So he travels to Rome. He buddies up with a guy named Octavian. Does anybody know who Octavian is? Octavian did not stay a senator, but he rose to the seat of emperor. And you probably know Octavian best as Augustus Caesar. This guy, Herod, became drinking buddies, golfing buddies. I don't know what they did. Kind of Roman buddies with the future emperor. And once he became emperor, he went to that emperor and asked, "Hey, let me take care of Israel for you." And that is how, help me, King Herod the Great came into power. Rome captures the nation of Israel, and Augustus Caesar sets up a king in Judah. Herod was named the King of Judah. Herod was hated by the Jews. He was a nasty word, a nasty name to them. I would imagine that if someone said Herod, someone would immediately spit on the ground. I just have that picture. He was a puppet of Rome. Jews weren't too fond of Rome. And this guy was a puppet figurehead for Rome. He was not full-blood Hebrew, this Herod. He was a descendant of Esau, which made him a Edomite. Oh, Ackley's on it today. Woo! Good job, Ackley. He was an Edomite. And Edomites and Israelites were always fighting. The Edomites wanted to destroy the Israelites. And lo and behold, an Edomite is sat upon the throne of Judah. So they hated Herod. They hated Rome. And they hated this emperor who had taken away all their freedoms. And if that wasn't enough, this Herod, he did not keep the law. And his behavior was completely scandalous. Herod did not care for the people. He only cared about gaining and maintaining power. Herod was willing to kill for power. He killed three of his sons. Three of them. He killed them. He's like, "I think this guy's trying to overthrow me. Let's kill him." You know what? He killed a wife of his. He had many wives. One of them he didn't like. I think she may have cheated on him, something like that. He kills them, kills her two sons. Boom. Three of his heirs. Boom. Gone. Dead. He killed them. He banished another son. He disinherited another son. What a great family. This is a tough thing, right? Whoa. I would say the banished one got off lucky. Herod valued power above everything. He valued it above his own family line. He valued it above his name. He valued it above his blood. He valued it above everything. If he could gain power by killing you, you are in the most dangerous of positions there could possibly be. Everything he did was to maintain and to gain power. He is king, but not really. He is the great, but no one would really call him the great. We kind of think he's called the great because he's a patriarch of that line. Or maybe he gave himself that own nickname, like You ever seen a kid try to give themselves their own nickname? Yeah. Just ask me when I was 8 years old. I said, hey, my name's Chris, but you can call me Blade. Why did y'all laugh? Gosh, they laughed then too. I don't understand. I still think it's going to catch on. Pastor Chris, or as I call him, Pastor Blade. Anyway, King Herod the Great appears unexpectedly in the first Christmas story. Can I tell you, no one wanted him in this story? Sometimes you can't help it. People just get in your story. They get right front and center in your story. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 8. Look on with me. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Now, who are they asking? They're asking Herod about a king of Israel. All right. We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was so happy. He was so joyous all the first Christmas. No, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. They replied, for this is what the prophet has written. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. So number one, he didn't even know scripture. He was like, you have to interpret this. Tell me where he's going to be born, because I haven't cared enough to know what the word says myself. There are too many Christians like that, by the way. Far too many Christians like that, by the way. We need to be looking in the word of God ourselves. Don't just be asking a pastor what it says. Look at it. Figure out what it says. My goodness. Thank you, somebody. All right. Reading on, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. All right. Herod was a liar, an absolute liar. Some might even call Herod a lying, dog-faced pony soldier. Matthew tells us that Herod was disturbed when he heard about a child being born who would be called the King of the Jews. This struck right at the nerve of his narcissism, of his greed, and his ego. Reminder, it's a baby. Bro, you have trouble with a baby. You have bloodlust, anger over a baby. You can't handle a baby. All right, these magi. Now, they're often in the Christmas plays, right? They're often in nativities. All throughout Plano, you can find a place where they're doing a live nativity. It's always fun to go to. There will be three magi probably there, right? There will probably be three of them there. They play a major role in the story. But one role that is always left out is that they unknowingly alert the villain of the Christmas story to the presence of a baby destined to be king. They leave out that part. Way to go, wise men. I mean, they did it, right? They went right to the one guy who wants baby Jesus dead more than anyone else and says, the baby that is King of Israel is born. I mean, that's a bad move. That is a bad move, right? Everybody see that? They did it. It's never in your plays. It's never in your nativities. Way to go. Just somebody say, way to go, Magi. And Herod actually has the Magi
do his dirty work for him.
By the way, the Magi knew when Jesus was going to be born. Why? Because they read the Bible. They read the words of a prophet named Daniel. Now get this. These are people that don't worship the true God of Jehovah, but they knew the word of God better than the king of Judah and then the rest of Israel. My goodness. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what your past is. It matters what is in the word of God and if you're getting a hold of it. Because they end up right at the feet of Jesus. Why? Because they read their Bible. Man, I'm getting passionate about reading my Bible. Anybody want to read their Bible this next year? Anybody want to dust off that Bible and get into it? Come on, let me see your hands. Come on, I'm going to call you on it. Let's do it. Let's read our Bible. That's why they're in the story. If they didn't read the Word of God and believe it, they wouldn't be in the story. Matthew chapter 2, verse 8. Now, Herod is using the Magi to do his dirty work. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me." Oh, it's so important, so that I too may go and worship him. Of all the nativity sets you have ever seen, have you ever seen one with King Herod the Great worshiping around the manger? Oh, there's one Magi, there's two Magi, there's three. Who's this fourth one? Oh, it's King Herod the Great. Anybody? Nobody's ever seen that, right? We've never seen a pageantry come in. You know, there's the frankincense, there's the myrrh, there's the gold. Oh, and there's King Herod the Great marching in and bowing before the Lord. It doesn't exist. Why not? He said he was going to worship him. Why isn't he in the story? This is what he said he wanted to do, right? But this power-hungry villain actually wanted to do the opposite. Shocking that people with power will say one thing and do another. I know that just blows you away. Never seen that before. No, that's been around for a long time. It's been around for a long time. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 tells us that Herod later gave orders to kill every young boy in Bethlehem under the age of 2. It's like he knew about the time, but he just wanted to make sure. Let's go 2 and younger. If you're younger than 2, let's just murder these children. Likening himself for all time to Pharaoh. He never intended to worship the Christ. This is no surprise to us. I want to tell you, the first Christmas was crazy unexpected. Now here is Joseph and Mary. Let's come back to those two. They are literally doing nothing illegal. They are not doing anything seditious. They are not trying to undermine Rome or King Herod the Great. They're not trying to do any of those things. What are they trying to do? They're just trying to live their best life, to love each other and to honor God. What a shocking thing. Kill those people immediately, right? This is what they're doing. And yet, there is a king sharpening his blade to use on their family. Oh, it's so unexpected. Are you dealing with the unexpected this Christmas? Is there an unexpected villain that just has shown up in your story? A person? It can be a loved one. It can be a family member. It can be a boss. It can be a next door neighbor. I want to tell you, depression can be that villain that shows up. A bad habit, an addiction can be that villain. Fear of the future can be that villain. Oh, and there's a lot of that these days with everything going on. Oh, what are we going to do? What is going to happen? Oh man, what's going to happen with the economy? What's going to happen with my job? The fear of the future. Guess what? If you're afraid of the future, you can also be afraid of the former and your failure of the past, the guilt of your past. These are things that are your villain and they will show up. sickness can show up. Loss can show up. A culture can show up. Things so completely out of our control can show up. For proof of that, look no further than a microscopic virus that started in a country on the other side of the planet, and it's now sweeping over your city. How do you control something like that? You can't even begin to control something like that. Villains just have a way of showing up. You can't control the unexpected. Say that sentence with me. You can't control the unexpected. Do your pastor a favor. Will you do your pastor a favor today? If you could just do this one thing for me. Stop attacking yourself. Please. Please. It's the number one thing I have to counsel with. People that attack themselves. It's actually the number one prayer request, and people don't even understand it. But they are attacking themselves with their shame, with their past, with the things they couldn't control. The majority of these unexpected tragedies are completely out of your control. So don't attack yourself over them. Do not tear yourself down. Do not commit physical, emotional, spiritual suicide. Don't do it. Knock that off. Could you do that for your pastor? Please stop doing that. You know that it works this way, right? This is how it works. Here's an example. Parents get an unexpected divorce. That is between who? A man and a woman that are married. The kids blame themselves. You know this is true. Someone say amen. Amen. Someone passes away. It happens. Heartbeats stop. But guess what? Those left behind feel guilt. I didn't do enough. I didn't do enough. I should have done more. Should have done more. I'm the reason this happened. Forget the fact that there's a person that dies on the face of the planet every second. But no, this one's my fault. I couldn't control it. I couldn't stop them from dying. People feel that guilt. Financial problems that actually extend from an unstable economy mixed with a car just breaking down, because that's what cars do. So don't hate yourself because you're in financial trouble. Stop that. You have enough troubles. So don't become another one of your troubles. Don't be your own villain. Stop attacking yourself. I love you too much to let you do that. One of my favorite stories, I had a really good friend. His name was Dustin. And there was this other girl in a college. Her name was Lisa. And Lisa just came and sat down at a table where me and Dustin were at. And Lisa said, gosh, I just can't do it. I hate myself. I'll never forget, Dustin, I love this. It's just been in my mind ever since. Dustin said, don't you dare talk about my friend that way. Just like he let her have it. Like he scared her, actually. Do not, I will not let anybody talk about my friend that way. Who is she talking about? She's talking about herself. I'm telling you, I won't let you talk about yourself like that. You're my friend. You stop attacking yourself. You stop being the villain in your story. You can't control the unexpected. You have to learn how to roll with the punches. That is not just a cliche. That's the truth. You got to learn how to manage. You have to learn how to deal with the disappointment. How to go with the change. You have to learn how to find God in the valley and not just in the mountaintop. These are all true. You got to be able to do that. I want you to know that God can handle the unexpected. You see, you can't handle the unexpected. You can't control it. But God can. God can. Imagine if Herod had come in and killed baby Jesus. Imagine that. What an awful moment that would have been. Most scholars agree that if Herod had assassinated baby Jesus, it would have been the worst Christmas ever. Most scholars agree. Let's continue with Matthew chapter 2, verse 8. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them. It moves, y'all, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and left and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When the villain unexpectedly planned to destroy the child, God then reveals his unexpected plan. You see, the devil is not the only one with a plan. Your villain is not the only one with a plan. God has an unexpected plan. The Magi, they came to worship the Messiah, and they worshiped treasures before him. That's not just a word that just describes pretty things. No, it describes the value of the gifts they gave. The value of those gifts were actually treasures. They were of great worth. They opened the treasures, laid them before him, and God warned them in a dream about Herod's unexpected plan. Now remember, these are the same Magi who were clueless, absolutely clueless, who they were talking to with Herod. No prophet had warned them about Herod. They were going to go right back to Herod. But the Lord warned them in a dream about Herod's unexpected plan. So they went another route home and completely avoided Herod, leaving Herod waiting for them. And the Bible tells us that he felt so angry, he felt fooled by these Magi. He was fooled by God. Yeah. Aren't you glad for a God who still speaks to people? I want to tell you, God speaks to people. He speaks to clueless people like you and me. I am sometimes looking face to face with a villain and don't realize it. And then God will pull me out of it. He will warn me and he will rescue me and he'll send me home another way. God will do that. He still does that for you. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter if you've got a villain in front of you. What matters is, are you hearing the voice of God? Amen. That's what matters. Aren't you glad for people who still hear the voice of God and obey it? My goodness, what would have happened had they not obeyed the voice of God? I want to be a person that hears the voice and obeys the voice. Can you grab onto that? I want to be a person that hears the voice of God and obeys the voice of God. And the Lord also spoke to Joseph. Hey, let me tell you real quick. God doesn't just speak to one man. Doesn't just speak to one dude. God doesn't just speak to me and this is all you need to hear from. No, he speaks to you. He will speak to a multitude of people around you. Sometimes the more you need to hear, the more he'll say to different people just to make sure you know that you know his unexpected plan. Is there a witness in this house? Y'all know what I'm talking about. The Lord spoke to Joseph and he tells him to escape to Egypt. And stay there until I tell you. And the plan was unexpected to the Magi. It was unexpected to Joseph and Mary. But it was not unexpected to God. God knew exactly what was going on. And he knew exactly what to do. Your villains will never get one over on God. yeah, you can fool some magi, but you will not fool the God of all wisdom.
Oh, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Nothing catches your God off guard.
You,
nothing catches God off guard. He is for you and he is not against you. In fact, God will use the plans of the wicked to crown the righteous. He will take the plans of the wicked, the plans of your enemies, and by the time God's plan is over, you're not only going to defeat the enemy, you're going to look good doing it. People are going to go, whoa, who is this person? That's a person I ought to follow. I'm telling you that God's plan can help you in a broken economy find wealth. That God's plan in a world that's full of depression can help you find an answer and bless your life in unbelievable ways. Do you see this? That's our God. So Joseph, he leaves that very night. Man, you can learn something right there from Joseph. We don't preach enough on Joseph, I think. Joseph hears from God and leaves that night. He doesn't say, well, let me pray on it. Let me think a little bit. Let me just wait a little bit. You know, let's wait for better weather. Let's just, you know, there's, you know, Netflix is airing a new series that starts tomorrow. I want to binge watch that and then we'll go. Got to finish The Mandalorian before we go on the, no one, all right. No, he hears from God and he leaves when? That night. Can we be people that hear God and obey him instantly? Instantly. What is it called when you delay obedience? Disobedience. Learn to be obedient instantly. 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 So he, how do you just leave everything behind and just go into hiding? Let's talk about the logistics of that. So he has a job lined up. Let's think that way. He's got an income lined up. He's got a maybe a support system around him. He's got a, he's going to leave all that. How do you do that? How do you just leave all that? How could you begin to afford the travel? We know from the Christmas story that when they took Jesus to the temple, they offered the most impoverished sacrifices. Pigeons and doves. That's what those that were in poverty would have brought to the temple. That's what the Lord's family brought. These were not wealthy people. How in the world could they have actually made that journey? How could they have afforded the food, afforded the travel, and then landed in Egypt and not been beggars? This story doesn't end well in every way you can possibly imagine. But it ends the best. Because God has an unexpected plan. We've done entire sermon series on the gifts of the Magi. These gifts were prophetic and they revealed the kingship, the priesthood, and the sacrifice of your Lord Jesus Christ. But these valuable gifts also gave Joseph the cash, money, currency to make the travel and to stay in Egypt. Literally, this is how God's plan works. Joseph didn't have to look around for the answer. The answer came right up to the manger and laid it at his feet. God will do that for you. God has an unexpected plan. He brought people far from the east that they never knew were on their way. He brought them right to the place with exactly what they needed. Do you think the gifts of the Magi were a part of God's unexpected plan? Absolutely. Absolutely. God has unexpected gifts for you that are more than just symbolic. These gifts are currency. God has currency for you. He is giving you things that you can use in your unexpected journey. He's given you things that will beat an unexpected villain. He has gifted you with everything you need to make it through your difficulty.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And Joseph and Mary and Jesus, they're safe in Egypt. And back in Bethlehem, Herod searched for babies to kill. Verse 16. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. You listen here, the unexpected plans of the villain Herod all failed. Every one of them failed. Now that doesn't mean he didn't cause great carnage, but they failed nonetheless. His plans actually do more than fail. You could say his plans backfired and actually crowned Jesus to be everything Scripture proclaims Jesus to be. Smooth move, Herod. You actually worked in God's favor. Because of Herod's plan, Jesus ends up in Egypt. And it fulfills the prophecy that said his son would be drawn out of Egypt. That fulfilled a prophecy. I'm telling you, without them going to Egypt, the word of God is not true. And Jesus is not the Messiah. The death of innocent children, it fulfills the prophecy of Rachel's sorrow. When Herod died, his son took his throne. And then, fearful for Jesus' safety and warned, Joseph decides to settle in the district of Galilee, in the town of Nazareth, and it fulfills another prophecy that the Messiah would be a Nazarene. There are three seemingly impossible prophecies about where the Messiah would be from. Number one, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Number two, Messiah would be drawn out of Egypt. And third, Messiah would be from Nazareth. And those are impossible to fulfill. How is that possible to fulfill? I'll tell you how. Herod's a dupe. That's how they're fulfilled. God took the enemy and just absolutely used him masterfully to fulfill every one of his promises. You listen to me. The presence of an enemy does nothing to stop the promises of God. God's promises are still true. In fact, the very presence of the enemy might be the fulfillment of God's promises for you. Oh, God actually used the villain to fulfill his promises. And all his promises are true. All of his promises are for you. And his promises are yes. And they are, somebody help me, amen. God has an unexpected plan. I've seen God use sickness to further his plan. I've seen it. I've seen God use divorce to further his plan. You listen to me. That doesn't mean God is for sickness or that God is for divorce, but God can use it. God can use broken things. I've seen God use a funeral to further his plan. I've seen God use tragedy to further his plan. I saw God use a torturous device of execution called the cross, yes, God, to save a wretch like me. God uses the unexpected to further his plan. What bigger proof? You want the best proof you got? Right outside this door, if you go to the right,
there are two bathrooms. There's a men's room and there is a women's room. And in both of them, we have set up proof. We've got proof. It's actually on the wall right above the faucets where you wash your hands. If you look right up there, there is proof. It's called a mirror. The fact that you are here is the most unexpected thing. You are His unexpected plan. Nobody expected you, Leroy, to be part of His plan. But here you are, baby. Here you are, man. You're part of His unexpected plan. All those villains trying to stop you, Elizabeth. Oh, but you villains. There's not a villain. There's not a devil in hell going to stop you. Because you're part of God's unexpected plan. I'm talking to people that you are called out of darkness into marvelous light. So that you should show forth the praises of Him. He's called you. You're part of an unexpected plan. Nobody sees it coming. But God's going to use you. The devils in hell can't even comprehend it. They're like, this guy? Angels can't comprehend it either. This guy, Chris Fluitt? Some of y'all can't understand it. God loves me. God uses me. God leads me. God has mercy on me. I'm a part of His unexpected plan. And that makes me bold. That's why God can speak to a man named Joseph and he can leave everything and go 4,000 miles. Anybody believe in the unexpected plan of the Lord today? Oh God, I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. All these crazy unexpected events happened so that the plan of God would be fulfilled in you. Jesus was born and He lived a sinless life. Jesus died upon the cross. Jesus was buried. And on the third day, He rose again. Jesus is alive. And there is no telling what this very same Jesus will do in your life right now. Do you believe God could do the unexpected tonight? I'm telling you, do you believe that God could speak to you in a way that just changes everything tonight? Could God heal you and forgive you of something that has been tormenting you for way too long tonight? Could God open up a door for you tonight? Could God give you a vision and show you more in your life than you've ever experienced before? Could He do that tonight? How unexpected would that be? Oh, God works in unexpected, powerful ways. If you're struggling with the unexpected, I want to pray with you tonight. I believe God's going to do powerful things in your life. These altars are open right now. Come.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.